Welcome to ITAD Talk and part two in this series. Here is your host, Jeff Bittner.
You know, one of the things I want to touch on too, and I know that I heard you mention this, is as I've been talking to thought leaders and people that have built their businesses and things, they always seem to refer to mentoring that they've been mentored, and also the work that maybe how they're touching lives of others. And I was just wondering if you might touch on that a little bit, because I know you mentioned that you had a mentor, and like what kind of an impact that had on you, and perhaps how you've been able to pass that on as well.
Hmm. That's a great question. And, what I've found throughout the years is there have been specific people that have come into my life, and I'm very thankful for those introductions. And I look at those intersections where those people came into my life, and whether it was for 2 years or for 2 months, sometimes much longer term, that I was so fortunate and very thankful that God would put those people in my life. And so, you know, certainly I can point first to my own father, my earthly father. I say, okay, Mark Fensel, he's a wonderful man, a guy that I greatly love and deeply respect. And he's the one who was pouring into my life since I was a kid and still does to this day. Mm-hmm. And I'm very thankful for him. And then I would say, over the last 13 years, I was introduced to a man out of in Michigan by the name of Lauren, who at that time was in his late 70s, and he's just past 90. Oh, wow. I just spent his 90th birthday with him and family and friends, and he has just been such a source of encouragement and inspiration, and just pointing me to put my life in God's hands, and to rest in knowing He has a plan for me, and to trust God with my life. And so it's been it's been awesome walking with him. He's the kind of guy I can call up, and it could be 9 o'clock at night, or it could be 7 o'clock in the morning. He said, "Hey, Michael," and we get on the phone for whatever time. And he's just given me an ear. And he's a person, I think one of the greatest things he's taught me about is doing things for others without any expectation of return. Mm. And
it's powerful.
That's how he operates. And he just has a heart to love and serve. And that's what he does. He's made a huge impression on my life with that. And I believe that is what we're called to. And even as we think about the company, that has turned into, the core focus of this is if you have a heart to serve, you can lead. And we're here to serve people. We have a desire to equip people with physical goods, tangible things that are very practical, that make sure that they can do their work. But ultimately, we care about those people right where they are. We want to protect people. And I say that in a multitude of different ways. Even giving people more confidence to work from home because they've got a shift wall behind them and it's representing the brand of the company. That could do a world of difference for people when they get on the camera, because they say, "Hey, you don't see my environment. You don't see where I'm working." Not that maybe it's not bad. Maybe I like it. I'm unsure. Right? I'm unsure. And I don't really want to be judged by that. And I think for companies on this other side of that is companies, they shouldn't want people to be judged based on their personal environments. It should be saying something that's reflective of the company. So from a company standpoint, corporate standpoint, or from a governmental standpoint, to be able to issue things within the living spaces of your people that help people on the other side of the camera identify that, oh, you're with this company. Oh, they're with that agency. There's a lot that goes on psychologically for that person. It ties them to that company, but it gives them some incredible encouragement.
Well, yeah, and too, I was just thinking too, one of the things that your shift spaces will do is it'll give a continuity for that company. So it's kind of like if you go to a McDonald's, you expect the same, clean environment and pleasant people and so on. So when you're using your products, then and they'll be seen on the Zoom video or whatever platform they're using, they're going to see the same, maybe the same logo in the background and maybe the desk layout and so on. So there's going to be a lot of continuity for that.
That's right, Jeff. You would want and expect to see that if we contact someone at a local office, and we contact someone at an office, let's say 100 miles away, And we're doing it by way of you know, the virtual meet, Zooms, Teams, Google Meet, whatever that is. When you can do it in a way that is repeatable and consistent, we should see a similar environment for all those. And that environment should be representative of the company or the agency or the school. And that continuity helps in a lot of ways. It helps me distinguish you from just anybody else I'm talking to on the phone. I know, oh, you're part of that company. You guys are, you're connected. And I think that's one thing to talk about it externally, meaning our conversations with people who are talking about us, who we're talking with is whether they're partners or they're potential clients or current clients of the company. But we can also think about it like, you know, when it comes to the internal engagements. So what that's like for you and I, or for you and your team, let's say if everybody's branded the same way, I liken it to, you know, you could walk down a street in Naples here. I could. And anywhere I went, if I saw someone with a University of Michigan shirt on or a University of Michigan hat or an Evangel University one, I was at both schools and I'm alumni of both. If I see that, there's an immediate connection, especially if I had the same shirt on as well, or something representing that, not the exact same one. But if we see that logo, there's a connection between the two of us. Hey, we both went to that school, right? So there's something that's there. In the same way, I think we want to do that internally for companies and schools and agencies. Say, hey, we're all connected, right? Even though we're disbanded, even though our offices are decentralized, we can still be connected.
Nice. Well, yeah, I think that that's a really important factor. And you've brought up a lot of really good points as far as the advantages of using shift space and the continuity and the separating the space between work and home life. And also they kind of can give you some quiet time to function while you're doing your work and have a little bit of soundproofing. So all those things are really important. And I mean, also having the continuity in the same type of products throughout, so that you know, one company can know that they've got a certain technology that's going to be scaled through all these different office space setups in people's homes. So is there anything that you think we haven't covered or anything else that you wanted to add?
That's a good question. I think your questions have been great and really opened the door for people to understand more about what we're doing. Thank you. You just for sharing this time inside the office. And whether I said at the beginning or the end of the conversation, it's really great to be here with you and to be able to shed some light on what we're doing and how we're approaching the market right now. I would say that when we think about leaders today, oftentimes there is a question of, you know, the what, right? We went past the, COVID came. Right. And it hasn't gone. We're now in Delta variant, and whether there's another one behind that. And I know there are several Lambda and Mu and these variants. We don't know how
they're going to impact us,
how they're going to impact us, and what that means for the office space and what that means for other things in life and schools. And there are questions about masks in schools and there are vaccination issues. There are a lot of different issues that are swirling right now and being talked about. And one of the things that's interesting, what we found within this is it's a key way to not only serve the people, but also serve leadership. You're dealing with so many different issues at a leadership level today. You know, it would have been one thing to deal with COVID alone if we just isolated that. But there's so many things on the table right now that are, you know, you're contending with as a leader. And so our ability to create this standardized system, right, and say, hey, we can do this for you, and we can do it in a way that's professional, it's systematized, it's consistent, it's a standard that works for everybody, and it really works well, and we can manage that for you. It's like, okay, you get to insert shift spaces right here, right, in this gap that you have. So as I was saying a moment ago, you had the, okay, what are we dealing with, right, this whole thing, COVID, and then the question about remote work. Okay, what are we? Okay, now are we going to ask people to come back? Do we like how this is working? There's this big sea change of the way we work. And I say one of the next cultural issues, right, is people saying, no, I don't want to come back. Now that's already starting to happen in some.
But you know, I was just thinking that a point that you kind of touched on is that some people, you know, there's, you know, some people want everybody to wear a mask. Some people don't want to wear a mask. Then you've got people that think everybody should be vaccinated, and then there's those that, for whatever reason, don't want to get a vaccination. So I was just thinking that, you know, for those that are working at home, that kind of alleviates a couple of those issues, because they're not going to be in the
That's
office.
Right.
They're not going to be around those people, so they're not going to be that kind of pressure. Because I was talking to a woman that works at one of the hospitals here in Naples, and she does not want to get vaccinated, and but they're trying to force her to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it seems to be kind of an issue kind of going on, and that's you know, one thing through shift spaces that would, you know, with people working at home, that they wouldn't have to, you know, deal with those issues, at least from a corporate standpoint, or going into an office building, let's say.
That's right. I remember very early on in March of last year when we started talking about this, I was casting this vision, and the thought was, gosh, you know, people are going to want to, you know, everybody's trying to get back. I said, let's not try to rebuild what we're already built. Let's build what's new, and let's build better. Let's build in a way that,
build it better, and on.
and so here we are, and now all so many of these things that have come to light, like the vaccination issues, and I call them issues because they're real. People are being affected by these things, and they're having to make decisions that affect their health, that affect their psychological, their well-being, emotional well-being. You have different pressures that are at work, and different pressures that are at work, meaning different things that are affecting people on the job, and they're having to make decisions perhaps before they never thought about having to make. And so when we think about this, the opportunity to implement shift spaces in doing this, you have another plan for people. You know, this group of people, for whatever reason, whether it's health related, religious exemptions, any other thing, they just simply don't want to, but they have their reasons, and they're not going to come back in the office on account of the vaccination. You know, we have the way to support them. And by the way, we can create more flexibility for our people, even those who do want to be vaccinated, or aren't concerned about health issues and would want to go back in the office. We also have something for them too in rolling out shift spaces to our people. So you're right, it offers people something so that if there is a if they're not willing to do that, then hey, we've got a plan for you too. We've got options for you too. We're not just going to, you know, rid ourselves of you, but we're going to give you a different avenue to continue to stay connected and be a part of this workforce.
You know, it's kind of funny too. I wanted to add one other thing that you were talking about is that, so when people are working from home, you know, I think that, you know, when that first started, a lot of companies were kind of stressed about, hey, is the productivity there? Are they going to be working at home? Are they going to be, you know, doing yard work, or, mm-hmm. you know, just things like that. But it's kind of funny because we're using one of the platforms to get remote workers to help with digital products and things like that. And they actually have an option through that platform that shows a screen share. It shows the screen of the person that's working. And so it's just kind of interesting how things are changing
yes.
now. And I mean, like maybe in the past you would have had a lot, maybe more freedom, but now, you know, things, so I guess what I'm saying, if there is a thought that might be happening, there's tools to make sure that the productivity is still there.
That's right. That's increased over the last year and a half. And certainly some of those things existed beforehand, but they just, you know, brought into the light now, because those same tools, maybe that could have been used for something else very similar, now have a secondary use, or that principal use is now just needed to a much greater extent. And that's one of the things that many were concerned about early on, is worker productivity and efficiencies and all these things. And that was actually, you know, the statistics show, and depending on which study you're reading and who you're talking to, and certain there are nuances, we've seen them, but that on high balance, people are working really well outside of an office, somewhere within their home, in terms of at least their productivity.
You know, it's kind of funny because I remember when, this is probably like 20 years ago, but when I was working from home as I was starting to grow my business, and I would be up at like 7 o'clock in the morning and checking online orders. And it almost seems like a lot of times when you work from home, you actually work harder because, you know, you're checking on things more often. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you get up, you can check on something, or it just gives you a lot more flexibility and the ability to closely monitor things going on.
Certainly, you'll hear about people that say, I work more hours than I used to at the office. And some of that might be, you know, we've all of a sudden gained back margin and in schedules. If you're in California, if you're in Austin, Texas, if you're in, you know, traveling in and out from New Jersey to New York, and your commute in a day might be several hours, that's a lot of time that now becomes productive time. It might be leisure time that you can add to. It might be more time with your family. People are going to have different things that they're going to use that time for. But certainly over the last year and a half, you've heard a lot of people saying, I've regained a lot of time. My priorities have shifted a bit. Mm-hmm. I've got more time with my family. I've got time for myself. I'm making different decisions that I think are leading to a better quality of life for me. And I think that's, while it may not be true of everybody, I think I've heard a lot of that. That at least because you're now missing these commute times, that's just one piece of it. On the other side of it, you hear people saying, well, I'm working longer hours, right? And having a harder time maybe disconnecting. And part of having a shift space is that you do have this dedicated space. So if my working space is my couch in the living room, and that's also my place to relax, it gets a little bit murky about where I'm at.
Or if that's your family space to relax and you're out there working and you want a quiet environment. I was thinking too, like you were talking about, that there's going to be a huge cost savings too for the individual that's working from home, because maybe now he doesn't have to invest as much in business clothing, for example, you know, going into the office all the time, plus the wear and tear on their vehicles, gasoline, and some of these things. And like you said, they're being able to save time. And then, like, I think you were pointing out that, you know, you're starting to do some of the work on the cost savings that it might cost a company to house a staff or personnel inside of an office building versus a shift space. Mm-hmm. Do you have any more to add on? Like, I know you're kind of starting to work out some of those cost structures, and like, how much does it cost to house an employee in a building? I mean, each year and so on.
Well, the average is, the cost savings to an employer are around $11,500 a year. This study was, I want to say, about a year and a half to 2 years ago. For the employee, it was about a $4,400 savings annually to work from home. So you got a really large savings on both sides for both parties. And collectively, there's a significant win-win that's there. Right. And so the cost of having people in an office, the real estate costs, depending on where you're at, can be much higher in some areas. The cost for a person traveling, if you're in one area versus another, is going to be significantly different. But those, I believe, are the national averages of savings.
So really, then buying a shift space would pay out pretty fast, and then year over year, you're going to get the multiple of that money back to the corporation.
That's right.
Or from an employee standpoint, or a staff member, they might be able to take some of that savings and invest more maybe in their 401k or IRA, or, you know, to plan better for retirement, right?
That's a great point. So. Absolutely. And I think that we have, we had somebody we were talking to recently, a large corporation. They said, you know, this isn't just a way for us to, you know, we've said so far we're going to do this. We're going to allow our people to go remote. This is a way for us to memorialize that. So as a company to say, you know, hey, we're going to put this down inside the house. We're going to invest in you, our people. It's not just our words. It's our money as well as a company. And we're going to do this in a way that makes sense for the company. It's going to make sense for the people. It's going to be something that everybody can participate in. And it's going to allow for that flexibility that people are asking for today, and that the companies are saying, hey, we're willing to give you.
Yeah, it's just really funny how much things have changed so much in the past year and a half to where companies are so open now to people working from home, because in the past they would have thought, no, we're just not going to do that. This is the way we've always done things. And now companies have just had to react so quickly and scale very, very fast as well.
Hmm. Yeah. And, you know, earlier, Jeff, I had mentioned, you know, the thought about COVID coming up, that was how do we react to this? And really, we want to respond, and we want to respond intelligently and use wisdom and discernment about things. And there are moments, though, you say, we had to move people out. We didn't really have much of a choice, a huge amount of time to prepare for this. So people went home, and I likened it to this. If you were in a wilderness and somebody, you know, said, hey, you have a Swiss Army knife and a canteen of water, and you got to stay through the weekend. And it was unexpected, you know, a car broke down or something, right? Some sort of odd occurrence. And so all you have is, yeah, this is what you got. Okay, but then if somebody says, hey, you're going to be out there in the wilderness for a year and a half, the Swiss Army knife and the canteen isn't going to be enough. You'd want to make sure that you packed for that. And because we've moved from like, okay, I got thrust into this position, to now we're doing this in a planful way. We're expected to be in this space, right? So because we're expected that now people are going to be moving and working remote, moving from the office, staying remote, however that is, or even a hybrid between the two, we're answering that how. The shift spaces, this is how the world works. Providing people with everything that they need and doing it in a way that is very thoughtful.
Well, I just want to say thank you again for being our guest this morning. And so our guest has been Michael Finzel from Shift Spaces, and he has a great company that he's building here, and it seems to be at the forefront of where corporate America is at, and from the work at home movement. So we'll look forward to seeing how your company grows. I'm sure it's just going to explode here soon. So,
well, thank you, Jeff. It's been very nice.
And don't forget, the best way to support ITAD content is to rate and like the show on iTunes, Google, Spotify, or anywhere you might listen.